Today on Criminal Minds, we talk about body parts, muzzles, and puppies. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV. After show, we are here doing Criminal Minds, Season 12, Episode 4, episode called Keeper. We thought this was a very appropriate song, letting the bodies hit the...
I've never heard this song before, floors, let the bodies hit the floor.
the
forest floors.
The floor of the earth.
The Appalachian Trail floors. Yep. I'm your host, Mrs. Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV, and joining me, as always,
is the lovely Chris Howard. You can reach me at Chris Howard Live, both on Twitter and Instagram. I've never heard this song before.
You're not missing much.
I know, yeah. It sounds like really hard rock, and it sounds very scary, and this was a scary episode, so it fits.
I've only heard the beginning of this song. Like, I only know that
same
whisper
here.
And then the scream. I'm Michelle Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
Yeah, this song. It's not really my type of music, but it was fitting for this.
You knew it. You were the one who sang it.
My brother
you?
Knew this song. So therefore I knew this song.
Yep.
Guys.
It's a brother deal. It's a brother deal.
I have brothers. Yeah. But yeah, episode Keeper. A very straightforward episode, surprisingly so, but what were your quick thoughts of it? Michelle, let's start with you.
I thought it was almost like a throwback, and it's Thursday that we're covering this, but that's neither here nor there. But it was very procedural and very straightforward, and there wasn't any drama with Peter Lewis, there wasn't any drama with Hotch, there wasn't really any major backstory. I mean, we got a little bit with Spencer's character development, but otherwise it was identify the unsub, figure out, you know, what his signature is, and then solve the crime.
Yeah. How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, what I'm picking up, because you guys have been watching the show a lot longer than I have, but what I'm picking up is just how fast these things move. The clip is just like, pop, 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 pop. He did this, he did mm-hmm. that. Okay, the MO is this. Okay, then we've got the, you know, this is the pattern that he's running. So it's kind of neat to see everything come together so quickly. I like the precision and the tempo and the rhythm That's it keeps fair. Going through. Yeah,
it's like if Gilmore Girls was a crime show.
Oh my God, I love Gilmore Girls. I cannot wait until they come back.
Can't speak to that.
But Gilmore Girls is my show.
Quick pace.
But we digress. Yeah, I completely agree with you because it is very fast paced, and we had two people always pairing up and going off to whatever they needed to do, and then we saw them switch a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I like that. And it didn't really have the conventional storytelling of delivering the profile. It was all really, eventually we found out all the information that we needed to know. The unsubs, the victims from other places, but not really a moment where they actually delivered the profile. And I didn't notice that until like the second time I watched the episode.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty neat.
You guys are serious fans. The second time you watched the episode, both of you watched it twice.
Yeah, because there was no one to present it to. Even Rossi commented, like, setting up the bulletin board in the woods. It was, we have to do this old school.
Yeah, we got to do it here. I was very surprised because, I mean, we got that one policeman at the beginning of the episode who kind of got involved, and he was the one that started everything, but you think he would give that to the other people, the other police guys that he works with.
Yeah. Give what to them?
Or, like, get them
get
involved.
Them involved.
Oh, get
Therefore,
them involved.
They usually have to go down to, like, a police department or some type of station to set up shop there.
Right. It went federal real quick, and they took over, right?
It did.
Yeah. And it was... They were so close to it that they drove there, so I think it just mentally threw me that it would be such a remote town, small town. I mean, mm-hmm. it totally makes sense in that area, but I was like, the closest police station is 20 miles away. Or 20 minutes. It was one of those two.
Yeah,
it was far away.
Kind of in the middle of every...
Yeah.
Of everything. Yeah, and but, you know, watching it the second time, it was like they didn't really skip a beat or anything. We still understood what we needed to know at the end.
I know that town, by the way. I've been there.
Dylan?
No, I know Luray.
Oh, and you do that?
Yeah, okay. I've been to the caverns, too. She mentioned the caverns. She's like, aren't there famous caverns here? And there are. They're beautiful caverns, like underground
you should go on the trail.
Caves and stuff. On the Appalachian Trail? What is that? You people hike that?
People hike it.
Yep.
The Appalachian Mountains.
And it's a big hike, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yep, you can hike parts of it or the whole thing.
And if you were to hike the whole thing, that's like a what?
How many? Through hikers, that's what they're called.
That's an ambitious journey.
Are we talking like months or?
I'd imagine months.
Yeah.
Really?
There are some trails that take months to complete. There's one here, the PCH here.
Yeah.
And
that take months to complete here in California.
There's one that goes across Canada.
Yeah, there's a bunch of trails that go across country, go up a whole state, you know, or like up multiple states. So like if you think about the Appalachian Trail, I mean, that's enormous landmass.
So the whole point was that he could disappear there, and they had said somebody had disappeared there before for 5 years. They looked for somebody out there.
Yeah, apparently they had a case 6 years ago. And the unsub was never found because the land was so big they couldn't find him.
Wow.
Yeah. Scary. Wow. And I was like trying to remember what episode though.
If it's the same trail, I think it was the same area. It was the older man who kidnapped young boys. And then he escaped in town. He shaved his face and he was able to get away and they didn't actually catch him.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
So, it's a big area.
You know, I believe it. I'm like, yeah, they caught so many people, that's probably true. Yeah.
Easy to disappear, but then you'd have to wonder, like, how could somebody live for 5 years out there? That's wild.
I know, but apparently some people can.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if you're hunting and fishing and, yeah.
Yeah. They're very self-efficient.
Self-efficient. Yes. Like you. Yeah. Like you could do, you'd probably last seven.
Maybe. Give or take.
You know. Give or take.
Who knows? But you did mention that it went, you know, federal very quick.
Yeah.
But JJ did say the line that there had been five victims, therefore already made it serial.
Right.
Therefore, that's why the feds got involved already at the top of the episode. So that makes sense now. But yeah, let's talk about the victimology. There were five different victims. Four of them were male. One was female. The female was the most recent. Her name was Kylie Fleming. Poor girl.
Right? Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong. Apparently, like, mid-20s, so, like, that's me, which is scary. And then, but apparently she, I mean, we'll get into all the, you know, the unsub, of course, as well. But she crossed the unsub during his killing and apparently was
just stumbled on it. And he had to get rid of her
because of
that.
Victim of opportunity.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine being in that position, but it was really sad to see that happen to a female. And from that, they learned that the unsub actually had a preference. It was males in the 40s and 50s.
Right. Yeah. What's interesting is how they found that, and then they were able to dismiss that she was part of the pattern. How did they pull her out? I'm trying to remember what was
backpack. It? They brought the cadaver dogs in.
It was the backpack.
Yep.
What was the one piece of evidence though that let them know that she was the she was not just the anomaly, but also she was not a part of the pattern that let them know that she must have stumbled upon it. There was something
text.
Yep.
It was the text that says, "Hey, I saw
something. I stumbled on something in the woods.
Yep.
Okay.
Really creepy.
And then they realized that she was just wrong place.
So
like
she
that.
Was just a victim of circumstance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. So. But what did you think about the details of finding out the earlier victims were all males in their 40s and 50s? And this has been going on for quite some time.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, it gives you. I love the fact that they can find the pattern, and then go, okay, what are we looking for now? Why? You know, how you can reverse engineer a crime. That's kind of cool.
It is. It's fascinating. I did think when they mentioned the one girl in her early to mid 20s, I was like, that's an anomaly. That's not part of the signature. That's not going to be a thing, because if four victims are white males in their mid-40s, and then there's one woman in her 20s. That's just...
Like, why the switch of MO?
Yeah.
What's with that?
Yeah. What's up with that?
It's like, something doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, I like the fact that they figured it out, and that narrowed down their search for the unsub. But what did you think of the second victim that we actually saw, Howard? His name is Howard. Who got hit by that shovel.
At the gas station, right?
Yeah.
He's talking to his wife. He's happy. He says, "I'll be there in a little while, honey."
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
No. that, ouch.
Now, he wasn't the second victim, though, right? He was...
He was like the seventh, technically.
Yeah, like the seventh
victim.
Yeah.
But he was the only one that was alive that we saw.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I just, unfortunate for him. And it seemed that that kind of sorted from the pattern as well. And they said, because we're closing it off, he's going to find a way to get to get his victim. So I think that was probably an anomaly, too, in terms of how he reached out to him in public, right?
Yeah, the unsub is accelerating, which I find it very interesting because, like, we really didn't learn a lot about the victims, the victimology, because the other cadavers that they found in the body, dismembered body parts, like, they kept naming them, like, John Doe's and stuff. We never really got their names.
Yeah. Right. They were too...
Decomposed.
Decomposed, yeah.
And affected by the elements to get a proper DNA sample.
Mm. Yeah, especially being out in the woods, so many external factors can ruin the DNA. Mm-hmm. And just the time limit, there was like one set that was about a year and a half old, and then it went from 8 months to 4 months to 2 months to 1 week.
Right.
So he was accelerating.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me about that is how they must be thinking about it. So you got to look at, you found this body part. Okay, you collect all the stuff and you say, what's the relationship between all of these? And you have to keep looking for relationships. What's the relationship between these men? What's the relationship between these body parts? What's the relationship between the time periods? And then how it comes together.
Right.
I like that.
I love it. It's fascinating. Did you ever think that, like, one of the bodies, you know, one of the set was the actual unsub? Like, they were going to, like, throw a twist in there. It's like, is this who we think it is?
Oh, like the unsub was actually killed, or?
Or like the, yeah, more so like that.
He killed his brother, and his brother was his first victim.
Oh, yes, they did kind of weave that in, didn't they? That possibility.
Did you think that?
Yeah, I did at first.
I thought they did too well a job showcasing that Todd couldn't have possibly done it. Like, he didn't demonstrate enough moments of clarity in any capacity for me to be like, he's the killer.
He didn't seem like he was the one capturing him, right? It was like, that takes some thought to get the muzzle on them, right? And he almost looked like he was just stumbling upon them and chopping things up.
I mean, it definitely left room for speculation, especially because they couldn't ID the bodies, that it could have been Cormac. But yeah, I loved this episode because of how much it was just straightforward procedure and, okay, these parameters didn't work. Let's try this. And it wasn't like an aha moment. It was just trial and error a lot, really fast and really effective. But it was very straightforward police work.
Now, what was weird, though, was there was confusion between the dog and the guy, because the dog wasn't Cormac, right? The dog's name wasn't Cormac, too.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Yeah, that pretty much takes us into Todd. But then Todd's interrogation.
Right.
We realize that Cormac is actually his brother. And he's just so mentally, I don't want to say messed up, because that's not right. But, like,
no,
he's
been
traumatized.
Yeah.
He was traumatized. His you know, his mind kind of snapped like his brother's.
Well, he's
then.
From Virginia.
Aww,
I'm joking, Virginians. We love you.
But, like, he's not all put together mentally either.
Yeah.
But we soon realized during this convoluted storytelling that his brother is actually Cormac, not the dog.
That was kind of interesting, because you get to see the effects of the trauma, how it had on each one. And they made it was really straightforward, where this brother's going to take care of the other one because he was traumatized. And the other brother's going to slaughter people like the pigs were slaughtered because he was traumatized. And he's going to imagine that the victim is his dad. You know, so they both have, this is how they've accepted the trauma, and here's how it plays out, you know?
And Todd turned to drugs. Todd was his brother's keeper, and he was trying to be his protector and keep him safe, because he felt like that's what older brothers do. And Cormac was younger and witnessing all the pigs being slaughtered, and then his dog, who he was emotionally attached to, like one of the few things he loved in the world, being taken from him at such a young age. He snapped and kind of did an internal thing, where Todd did the external drugs, vagabond lifestyle, and
they were both pretty messed up.
Yeah,
any way you shake it, they had been through hell. I mean, could you imagine that if your father said you'd sleep with the pigs, slaughtered them around you, make you wear a muzzle? Yeah,
that's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dad, you got to wonder, you know, it gets passed down generation to generation. So what did he have to go through, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. See, the thing is, you know, with the whole flashback, when we see of Todd's flashback telling the story, it's like, I didn't really understand, or like, I didn't get to that conclusion that his brother was that truly traumatized. for him to execute all these killings.
Oh, you had to be traumatized to do it, you know?
Like, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
But, like, I saw more of the flashback from how Todd got messed up, but not how the brother, who was actually the one who's killing everybody.
Right.
And I think in that flashback, it just beautifully demonstrated. And I looked up the actor, because he did so great in that scene. Mm. Courtney Gaines. Whew, wow.
Great job.
Good job. Just demonstrating in the flashback how much that memory imprinted on his brain and how it kind of fused together the idea of Cormac and the dog. And if he could protect one, he would protect the other. Type thing. So I think that's why he was always like, I need to find the dog. The dog needs food. I need to take care of the dog.
So he was actually doing both. He was trying to find the dog and he was protecting the brother and cleaning up after the brother to take care of the brother too. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of like just how the conventional, well, it was not really conventional, but like just the storytelling from Todd and how he eventually learned that through the interrogations, through Prentice's interrogation, through Roxy with the aid of Alvez's dog Roxy, but like how do you think we found out the story? Did you enjoy that?
I did. I thought that bringing Roxy in was a touch of genius on Luke's part, like going to get his dog and seeing, because all they were getting was Todd was looking for a dog named Cormac, and then being able to visually see his body response to an actual dog and be like, it's not about a dog. It's absolutely not about a dog. And it kind of helped steer how the interrogation was going to go.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. The response to the dog was actually kind of weird. It was out of sync with the story, I thought. And I also was surprised that the dog ran over to him, because dogs can be, especially those types of dogs, can be pretty good judges of character. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a guy that's chopping people up. And so maybe the dog saw him as the broken man that he was or whatever. But I was surprised that the dog was so friendly with him. Instead of, you know, I got a big dog. My dog, if somebody has bad intent or is not all together, that he's going to stand there and just bark the hell out of him, you know?
Right. I can completely understand that. There are some dogs that are actually used for therapy.
Right.
And I think Roxy is one of those who can work.
Can
when
deal with.
Needed to be and, like, sniff out bombs or whatever that like she's been trained to, but also on the flip side, when she's not really working, she could just be
friendly.
A lovable companion,
right?
Yeah. And I think during this situation that was more to just help him open up a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, well, he wouldn't have brought her in if she was gonna go after him anyway.
Oh yeah. But I think it was a nice touch, and I think they used all the dogs very well in this episode, especially having the dogs sniffing in the woods, the cadaver dogs.
I like police dogs, they're good.
We need more of them.
We do.
Like, very rarely do we ever actually see dogs in the show.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe once a season.
Dogs are good officers.
This episode we got like four dogs.
Yeah, we had a lot of dogs.
It was good.
Yeah, that was great. Okay, so that kind of just brings us to really the takedown of Cormac, because we see, you know, Rossi and Tara going and finding out who Cormac was, who Todd is, but the whole takedown of Cormac in the barn, in like the actual barn, no less.
Well, that was weird, huh?
You thought they were going to kill him.
I thought they were going to shoot. In fact, I would have if I was there and I was the officer and or the agent, and because at the one point he had the knife to the victim's neck, and he said, "You know what happens with a cornered animal? Well, a caged animal is going to fight like crazy."
Right.
Yeah. And so the moment he said that with the knife at the neck, I thought they should have shot him in the head. I do. I think it would have been justified too. But they probably would have had all those sorts of internal investigations if you know. But I think they had, with a statement like that, and he's got a knife to somebody's throat, I think there's no problem shooting him. But they didn't. He said that then you have to give up. He went the opposite way that the friends thought it was going to take it.
Yeah, so you thought that they were actually going to shoot him.
And I thought they should have. And I think if I was in that place, I would have.
Well, he didn't really make any sudden movements to the point where...
No,
like,
I know, but that knife at the... Like, all it's going to take is him slicing down, and he says, you know what happens with a caged animal or a cornered animal.
Mm-hmm,
cool. Yeah, I mean, that to me is enough of a threat to take him out for the sake of the victim, the person that's lying there.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
Did you think that?
I cannot speak to being a police officer in that moment.
Yes.
That's a very fair point.
I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know what the rules are, but I like that was enough for me. If it was my mother and somebody said that and they had a knife at her throat, you know, they're going to take the bullet in the face.
I'm going to have to agree with you, Chris. Yeah. I thought that they were actually going to shoot him too.
Yeah.
Because we know that he, Cormac, can brutally kill someone. And, like, this sounds terrible. Like, I would have been okay if Cormac was killed by the police and Todd survived. Because Todd was the one that we spent a lot of time with and we emoted with him. And we got close to him and connected with him.
And then, he was like, only chopping people up after.
Yeah, and, like, he seemed more...
Well, yeah, the bodies were already dead. He was just trying to clean up to protect his brother.
He was just trying to be his brother's keeper.
Right. I'm not a big fan Cormac of either one, but
yeah, not that I wanted anyone to die. Honestly.
I thought it was neat that they did show emotion and like she cared enough to be able to, even though the guy's a psycho killer who has killed people and chopped people up, she cares enough to kind of put his life right by saying, "Hey, yeah, you saved your brother."
Yeah, and I loved how they brought it back.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, that was great. And even the fact that his mind is still, Todd's mind is still snapped there and it's like pretty much broken.
Doesn't mean he's not going to get locked up. Doesn't mean, but at least he can have some emotional.
Doesn't mean that, like, he can understand the fact that everything went okay.
Right.
Yep.
Even if, with his brother and with his quote unquote dog and his quote unquote delusion.
Yes.
But I like that. It was a sweet moment and, like, I'm glad this episode had a fairly happy ending.
Yeah.
Except for the
seven deaths, or the six bodies,
the slicing and dicing of all the body parts and throwing them across the.
That was like the first scene. You see a hand go flying over there. Up, a hand over on the thing. Look in the bag. What's there? A bunch of body parts.
It's raining men.
It's raining men. Yeah, not in a good way though. Not the way the song was meant.
Bloody men.
Thank you.
You guys are just full of all this tonight. I think that was probably the most disturbing part of this episode, just, like, seeing all the body parts and, like, especially when they're in the Emmy office and they're just laid out on trays.
On trays.
Like, oh,
did you say especially?
Especially.
Okay. I thought you said especially.
I speak really fast, you guys. But, yeah, just to see all the body parts just laying out there, that was kind of nasty. Yeah,
well, and I just... From an objective standpoint of witnessing this, like, that has to smell. I know they've probably neutralized it to a point to do science. I'm smart. It's fine. To do the science. But just that Reed, when they do a shot and they're pulling away from Reed's face and he's just taking it all in and looking at it and he's, like, totally desensitized to the moment and staring at it objectively and his mind is working to solve this crime. I'm just like, no, those are pieces of people.
Well, the reality is I think that the first police officer that looked in the bag, he would have smelled that a long time before picking up the bag and looking in. It would have been... The stench would have been horrific, I would think.
Yeah. Even, like, after a week, it would have smelled pretty right.
Yeah.
Like in the ME office, even Prentice was unshaken. So, like, they've just done so many cases. Yeah. They're so desensitized. And I still watch it. I'm like, no, that's still kind of nasty.
Now you've gotten to the point after, like, how many seasons?
I can look at it. I can look at it and, like, flinch just a little and be like, okay, moving
on. When we add smell-o-vision, you're going to have a problem.
You
have to go through a whole new desensitization process.
I think all crime shows will go out of business if there's ever smell-o-vision.
No.
No one wants that.
I have very low tolerance for bad smell. That is true, anyone who knows me. Overall, I enjoyed it. And let's get a little bit into the BAU, though, like themselves, their personal stories. We had Reed and his mother, because we know that his mother will come back in episodes. Jane Lynch has officially been booked to come back. So I think this was like a setup to have his mother come back. But we find out that she was involved, or like she will get involved, with the John Hopkins participant for the metabolic enhancement for neurodegeneration.
I can't believe you wrote that down. I think it's almost a joke when they say things like that, because they want you to not get it, right? Yeah. They want it to sound very complex.
But to help treat her condition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised at the fact that this didn't actually fully pan out well for him?
Not necessarily surprised. A little bummed for him. Because I know he's definitely the type of person or character that wants to solve the issue and solve the riddle. It's like a chess game almost. And, I mean, not to jump too far ahead, but even at the end, instead of booking a plane ticket, he calls a doctor instead. Like, he's very focused on trying to make his mom better.
Yeah.
And he's also very, you know, committed to his work. He wants to be right there. He doesn't, like, he's torn. So that was nice that they had the conversation with Rossi and to put things so that he could actually feel good about going and doing something about it. I see Spencer as being a lot like a Sherlock Holmes type, very mm-hmm. cerebral. Like,
totally.
He's like, he fits the stereotype. And so he's gotten permission to kind of feel in this episode and to be there and connected.
And that tends to happen. You know, people with high IQs have tend to have lower EQs.
That's what happened to me.
And but like I like this because I still, even though Rossi's nice tender moment, like, it's okay, you know, just be with your mother because your time with her is limited, and that's the best medicine, to, you know, be there with her so she can see you, hear your voice and all that. That's the best medicine. And I was like, that's just good advice in life.
Yeah,
just be with your family because they take precedence and priority.
Yes, I agree with that for sure.
I like that. And then we also got Roxy, the reveal of Roxy.
Yes, that was so cute.
Did you guys know that Roxy was a dog?
Yeah.
I knew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we knew that Roxy was a dog. We just hadn't seen
Roxy. They
showed
us last episode.
We knew that Roxy was a dog. And Garcia didn't know.
So good.
That was a very sweet moment, though.
That was.
Garcia finally found out it was Roxy. Her comment towards Elvis was hysterical.
She's just... They're going to have such a great dynamic. So excited to watch it develop more.
Yeah, and I know people are still, like, very heartbroken over the loss of Derek. But, I mean, this is a whole nother relationship that's completely not like that.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's unique.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Really. But, like, she has one of the best lines about Roxy. Like, adores you like... how can any female not be intoxicated by your masculine wiles?
Like, is that exactly what he said?
No. Not really. Not really. No. But like that's
how
she
perceived
thought.
It, right?
Yeah, that's how she thought.
Just shows how we distort things and twist them to make
to make them fit our feelings.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we also had the mention of Hotch. We do have to bring this up.
Yes.
Because they said that Hotch was on TYD or TDY, God, letters, and which stands for temporary duty assignment. Which
I
means,
thought that you had all this stuff down. This TDY. Let's look at the BAC. Let's look at what
the unsub
is doing.
I read it really fast. Some of mine read it backwards. But TDY, temporary duty assignment, which is, you know, is a real thing, but it still doesn't explain why Hotch is gone, even though the audience knows why he's off the show. But I'm still wondering how they're going to properly write his character off.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like he can come back at any time.
They could have had him got chopped up in this episode, but...
I don't want Hotch to get chopped up. No. But they like made it sound like he's available for consulting, you know, still pick up the phone and he's still there.
Yeah.
Like, he can come back at any time. Like, if he's really off the show, they need to have a set done storyline.
I think they will.
Eventually, I think they're still.
I think they
it
wanted
out.
To do it justice and make sure that it was well written, whatever, and believable.
Not rushed to anything yet.
Right.
Remember, Charlie Sheen got killed with a piano.
Did he really?
Don't you remember? In
I didn't watch.
No, in Two and a Half Men, they killed off the character. They said a piano fell on him and he was killed, and that was it. And they like, okay.
That's
wow.
a terrible.
That's
way to
how
talk.
They replaced him.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Spoiler alert.
That's not a spoiler alert, actually.
That's a spoiler.
That's
me. A I never
past
watched the
spoiler.
Show.
Oh, sorry. If you're watching Two and a Half Men, that's a spoiler alert.
I feel
alert.
Like
yes.
those are two completely demographics of the people who watch that show. In this
but, I mean, they were, yeah, but they were so turned off to the kid, to Charlie at the time. They're like, let's just kill him with a piano. Okay. He's dead.
And wow. done. Hotch deserves better than that.
Okay.
Yes.
And he also deserves better than dismembering him. Like all being right, chopped up.
Yeah. All right.
Like
I gave two
doing.
Options. You didn't like either.
No. I'll go for the latter.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to kill him off.
I don't think so, too.
I think they're going to have him retire to spend more time with Jack.
Same here. I think so, too. Anything else about this episode? I really enjoyed it.
It was good.
I thought it was good. And I like to see the once again, I'm starting to really appreciate more the fast clip of the how they put the case together, how it all comes together, and they're able to draw their conclusions, and also the pathology in the unsubs, and how whatever's happened in their life leads to how they express their crime. So I'm starting to really appreciate that.
Yeah. I did like the moment when Prentice was with Garcia and in her control room. She's like, can it go any faster? And, like, it's funny. Every time they set Garcia, you know, with parameters, like, look for this type of person, and then it just goes away. Like, we don't really think about how long Garcia's been waiting for answers until she calls us back. And so, like, to have someone in the room with her, we're like, oh, this is real time. This is how long you have to wait every single
episode. But it's still moving really fast. So to think that that's slow is, you know.
Yeah.
I think the only thing missing for me so far from the show, like, they've done some great work building up Alvaz as a character and introducing us to him, but we still don't know Tara Lewis that well.
Yeah, it's true.
And she's been on for a season and four episodes. Season and four episodes.
It's very true. She got attacked this episode.
She did.
I was like, oh.
She was almost choked.
I was like, ready for her to just, like, beat him.
Yeah. Like, I think
she got your attention. Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
But Alvaz, you know, being the strong.
It took the
brute.
Man to come in and do it. I think if she had gotten properly trained in jiu-jitsu, she'd be able to do just
could
fine.
You train her?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, come on, Tara. Come down to the studios and
come on down. Let's get you trained.
Yeah, like, I was actually scared for her life because it was by, at this time, we didn't really know Todd. And we didn't know if he was actually a soft person.
He's not soft. He'll chop you with an axe just as soon as he looks at you. Yeah.
Well, not as soon as you look at it. Again, it was like
constant. He'll cry. He'll twist. He'll do that. He did this. Remember when he saw the person on the ground? He's like,
Like, I'm not saying he was a good person, but no. I am saying he wasn't the killer.
Well, in most cases.
Yeah.
I think the person he saw on the trail was alive, right? That he started chopping up. The person was writhing it alive, so he killed.
Then they were dead.
He killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the onset, accelerated really fast. But I think there were some good moments that I was like, oh, really afraid for Tara's life. But then there were some funny moments like Alvaz and his dog Roxy. But overall, a very straightforward procedural.
Yep.
No plane. They didn't get on a plane this episode.
Nope, they haven't been. Have they been on the plane lately?
Yeah, they were on it last episode.
Okay. That was 2 weeks ago. I don't remember.
Yeah, that was a while ago already.
Darn presidential debate.
We got a week off, yeah.
No, curse them. All right. Let's get a little to news, shall we?
Just
a little.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, I don't know if you guys know, but me being a big fan of Padgett Brewster and follow everything that she does, she appeared on Drunk History again this past week.
Oh, nice.
Drunk History?
Drunk History.
Drunk History.
It's a Comedy Central show.
Okay.
Pretty good.
You ever watched it?
No, it sounds funny, though.
It's hysterical.
Really?
Yes, it's a bunch of comedians getting drunk and telling a historical event.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but in a very funny way with a lot of lip syncing. So Padgett Brewster, she's been on it a few times, actually. She's one of the favorites. Her story was Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt meets a Soviet sniper. And the whole story was about when back in 1941, it was actually 1942 at the time during World War II, Eleanor Roosevelt befriended Ludmila Pavlichenko, who was...
You do your research, girl.
Who was the best snipers in history. She killed 309.
Damn.
Fascists. And she was only 25.
Wow.
So it's pretty much, she was going over the whole story, how Eleanor Roosevelt and Ludmilla, they became friends, and Ludmilla came over to America, and they went on this press tour to get people's support during the World War II.
Interesting.
Huh.
But now imagine that drunk.
Imagine that drunk.
So, yeah. If you haven't seen it,
Drunk History, it's a true story,
Yeah, it's a true story that people get drunk and relay the story.
Last?
30 minutes. Not even. It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good watch. You've seen this too?
I haven't seen that episode, but I've seen a couple. I really enjoy it.
You should. If you guys haven't seen Drunk History, it's hysterical. I love it. Yeah, but that was just a quick thing that happened in the past time since our last episode. So let's get to... it's really hard to do predictions on the show because it's very self-contained.
Yeah, they are, because each episode,
It's very self-contained. But, all right, so let's skip to predictions then.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. Well, the next preview, we saw, it seemed like it, maybe because it was Halloween, or I don't know. But it seemed like there's going to be a bunch of younger, maybe teenagers, maybe mid-20 people being stalked by a killer who...
Maybe?
I don't know. Previews are very deceiving.
I was going to say, after the preview for this episode... last night, I don't trust him.
It could be anything.
Well, that's what she said too. Marissa says, "Yo, if you just watched the preview, it looked like it was a feral guy in the woods killing people." I'm like, "It was."
But it looked like very an animalistic feral.
Like that
person.
Could be like a.
It was. They were raised with
like
pigs.
Bigfoot killing people. You know,
he kind of looked like that.
Like or like troll hunter.
There was lore in the mountains that they were hunting, and it was a person abusing the lore.
Exactly,
which happens.
I mean, this was like the Halloween episode, but it was very straightforward, and I'm glad it wasn't that.
It was good. Though. I mean, we saw a hand fly. It's not like there's no gore.
That's true.
You're desensitized.
We saw the bag drip with all the blood.
Oh, did you see the hand?
Yeah, I saw the hand.
Yeah, it's like blood
coming out the back. The hand is straightforward. The blood effect, though. The blood dripping.
That looked pretty gross.
There was so much blood in that bag.
What do they make that with? That, like sugar water and
corn syrup.
Yeah.
Corn syrup and red food coloring.
Yeah, dyed
and it's sticky and it's got this consistency. It just looks like it's gross.
Nasty.
Yes.
Nasty. But, I mean,
do you think we could go on the... Did they film that here in Los Angeles, the show?
Yes, they do.
Can we go on the set and go check it out?
I would love to.
Can we?
Do you know people there? We'll have to set that up.
Hey, can we come? We'd love to do a tour.
To the powers that be.
Let's go do a tour.
I would love it. I would
and get behind the scenes. That would be fun.
I love the show so much. Okay, that wasn't really a prediction, but anyways.
I predict we'll be on a tour so we can tell you so much more.
Okay. All right. How about you, Michelle?
Predict
anything? Nope.
Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same very general ones that fall in line with the overarching themes of this entire season. Peter Lewis is going to come back. Jane Lynch is going to be in it.
Right.
I got nothing good.
We haven't caught the other serial killers yet.
No.
They kind of like took a break on that.
They did. I mean, they got to do their
job. So there's outstanding people we're still missing?
Yep. Yeah. There's five. There's five just like still.
Five or four.
I think they riddled it down to four now.
Yeah.
There was that one episode they caught them. But,
we're
eventually going to get those. Maybe they're saving them to the end of the season. That could be like a big finale.
Yeah.
Or mid-season. I'll take that.
Probably, mid-season.
Like, wrap that up. And also, we'll find out how Hotch actually leaves.
Unless Hotch is the mid-season finale.
Oh, they're really. Do you think they're really going to stretch it out to 11 episodes for us to believe that he's officially gone?
I don't know.
I mean, his lack of presence is so
apparent.
Apparent, yeah.
Who knows?
He's gone. They can't keep making the excuse that he's out on assignment again.
They'll just do stock footage.
There's going to be a plane that goes down or something that happens.
Oh,
or,
no, they're not going
to. They have to take him out in a good way. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Well, no.
He's gonna retire and hang out with Jack.
I like that. Let's end it there.
Jack has been traumatized enough.
Yeah, I like that. Let's end on a happy note.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to us every week. In the meantime, where can we keep following you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Michelle_Cullen.
And you can follow me on the Appalachian Trail. I'll be hanging out up there. No, you can find me Chris Howard at Chris Howard Live on Twitter and Instagram.
Not surrounded by any pigs.
Not surrounded.
Fortunately so. Which reminded me of the episode.
I'm surrounded by beautiful women. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this episode reminded me of the episode To Hell and Back,
yep,
season 4 finale.
Oh.
The pigs, because pigs are omnivorous. And once I saw a pig, I'm like, oh, this cannot be good.
I was like, I'm not
no
feeling
pigs,
it.
No pigs.
But yes, thank you everyone for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter @SerafiniTV. You can follow all of us here on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those fun social media platforms @AfterBuzzTV. Keep writing, keep commenting, and keep watching this scary, awesome, amazing, brilliant show. So thank you everyone. We will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Wheels up!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.